Hey everyone, this is just a reminder that on March 22nd through March 26th, I will be hosting a free 7-day program called the Rise Up Morning Routine Challenge. This challenge will be held in a private Facebook group for anyone who is interested on learning how to level up their mindset through their morning routines. In this free mastermind course, we will focus on how to develop a strong morning routine and how your morning routine can set the overall tone for your productivity and structure for the day. We will also cover schedules, planning, meditation, journaling, reading, and so much more. Our Mastermind Challenge is absolutely free, and it is a gift to you from me. If you are interested in joining my program, head over to www.coachwithbyron.com. Again, that's www.coachwithbyron.com for details. We'll see you in the morning. Yeah, I came across a scary statistic here I really want to share with you guys. They say that 43 million Americans, or 17%, are struggling with most, if not all, of aspects of their financial lives, while 135 million, or 54%, are struggling with some aspect of their financial lives, which leaves about 29% of other people in America are spending, saving, borrowing, and planning. It's not so much about how much you make. Of course, making more money is great, right? But it's about how you manage your finances. So today, we are going to take one step further from last week's episode. We are going to talk about how to set up the 50-30-20 rule and put it in practice. So therefore, you can start spending your money accurately, saving money, and planning for the future. Joined with me today is my lovely co-host, Kristen Stevens. We have so much information to share with you guys. So grab a pen and paper and let's dive into it. What is up, my wonderful and most talented listenership? Welcome to session 34 of the Rise Up Motivational Podcast. As always, my name is Byron Pringle, and I'm your host and mindset coach here to help you create the lifestyle you've always wanted by identifying your goals, crushing your limited beliefs, and most importantly, working towards a future filled with possibilities. And on this week's episode, I am joined once again with my lovely co-host, Kristen Stevens.
Hey everyone, hope everybody's doing great. I just want to point something out. This is like a year, almost exactly, like the last week that everything was normal before the pandemic.
It's insane to think about that. We're slowly approaching the year mark before all the shutdowns and all the mask mandates and everything we've seen in the media and everything that's happening. So,
like this week coming up would be the last normal week before that started the last year.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That's just mind blowing to think about that. I mean, like, it's just insane to think about. It's been a year. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what do you guys think on your end? Like, how much has your life changed in the last year? And, you know, Kristen and I, we were actually just having breakfast and we were talking about that. And it just blows my mind on how life has changed so much and how we have adapted to this new lifestyle. And we're slowly seeing some of the states opening up as well because of this. So, I don't know. Everyone's got different viewpoints. You know, I'm excited to get things, you know, under control and then pursuing a quote-unquote normal life once again.
We're really hoping for a normal summer. Like, that's like our dream right now, is to have a normal summer.
Yeah, I think last summer was really great.
It was great.
Yeah, and for those who have been listening to the show, you guys have known that Chris and I, we took actually advantage of the opportunities actually we had with last summer. We did some wine tasting. We went to, instead of going to a movie theater because they were all closed, we went to a drive-in movie.
Highly recommend, friends. Highly recommend.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, glass is half full. You got to, you know, make the best out of a, you know, a terrible situation. So it's all about perception.
It is.
So last week, if you guys have been following the show here, this month we were covering the topic of budgeting and finance. So last week we were talking about the incredible, most powerful tool that I found in the finance world is the 50-30-20 rule and how to properly budget your finances.
How to get, you know, and just getting started with that. And guys, I'm just going to give him a little shout out right now. So I had no idea. I've been with this man for a year, had no idea how much he actually knew about finance and budgeting, and it blew my mind. So if you are looking for someone to help coach you through budgeting, finance, like really give him a message because he is super good.
Well, I think finance is so important, and your finance and how well you manage your finances helps create that environment of comfort for your living situation.
Absolutely.
So, and again, it's like I said on last week's episode, it's not really so much how much you make. Obviously, we want to make more money, right? Because we think our lives become a lot easier with that mentality. But it's not, again, not so much how much you make, but it's how well you budget your money. Because I know plenty of people that make $30,000, $40,000 a year, and they live a comfortable lifestyle. And I know some people that make 60, 70, all the way, almost up to six figures a year, and they're struggling. And it's all about living within your means, understanding what your essentials are, what your wants are, your variable expenses, and then most importantly, how to save money. I think the savings, that's what gets us every time. We pay our bills. We just make enough to pay our bills. We go out, buy a new shirt or
He's making fun of me because that's a weakness of mine.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we want to go and reward ourselves when we get paid. I mean, can we all agree? Like, we go work 40, 50 hours. Some of you guys might work even 60 hours, maybe multiple jobs. And yeah, and it's really nice to say, you know what? I just want to buy a darn t-shirt. I think I deserve it. And you absolutely 100% sure. Yeah, you do deserve that. But it's all about managing your finances, because if you have a gut feeling that you probably shouldn't be making this purchase, my experience, you probably shouldn't, because it should come out of confidence that you know you can be able to afford this expense. Like, you're not going to go to a car lot and buy a $50,000 car and knowing full well that you're not going to be able to make the payments.
If you have any kind of sense, you don't do things like that.
Exactly. So before we move forward with our financial plan, we have to have
a budget, a
financial plan. So last week we talked about the 50-30-20 rule. Again, 50% of your net income. Again, this is after your insurance, your 401k, just whatever expenditures that are pre-taxes prior to your net income. This 50% is your essentials. 30% should go to your non-essentials, eating out, dining out, whatever, things that you would like to do that you don't necessarily need to survive on. And then 20% should go back in your savings. So the one question I get asked is, how do you separate these expenses? How do you define what are essential?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm wondering is, to me, essentials are my bills, my rent, and my car.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously food, but what else would be considered like an essential that you do spend money on every month, but you don't think about it?
Right. So your essentials are things that you need in order to survive on. Simply put it that way. If you need it to survive, then it's an essential. You need a roof over your head. So your rent, your mortgage is an essential. you need electricity to see when it's dark.
When so, is it time to go to bed?
Yeah, exactly. You need electricity. You need water to bathe. You need to, and you know, the one thing that gets thrown around is internet being an essential. 20 years ago, I would say it's non-essential. You don't need it. Nowadays, especially if you're working from home, having a standard ISP is an essential.
It absolutely is for me.
Yeah, especially if you're, again, working from home. If you have kids in school, they have homework. They need internet access.
If your girlfriend's a teacher and she has homework.
All the more reason why you should have internet. So what I want you guys to do, if you have a piece of paper and pen in front of you, which if you don't, pause me. Go ahead. I'll be here when you unpause me. If you're driving, please do not do that because I don't want to be that guy that gets blamed that you get pulled over and you'd be like, hey, this guy on this podcast told me to do this. So I don't want to be that guy. But take a mental note. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and separate your essentials, non-essentials, and then figuring out with your net income what your 20% is. So if you're $1,000 a month, we'll use $1,000 as a good base number here. So 20% of your net income should automatically go back in your savings. 50% should go to your essentials on your rent, your utilities, your internet. If you have a car payment, again, car payments are essential because how else are you going to go pick up your kids from soccer practice? Car insurance is an essential item. Again, things that you need every single day. It is a dire need. That is an essential. Non-essentials, we talked a little bit about that in last week's episode. Subscriptions like Netflix.
Unless you're me, then it's an essential.
Yeah. eating out. I know that's one big hitter. We actually went to a local Mexican restaurant here in town, Fiesta Mexican. Highly recommend it if you're in the Iowa City metro. They have bomb margaritas. I'm just going to say that right now. But, you know, dining out was like almost $40-some.
Yeah.
Although it was really good. It was great. Could we have made that maybe half of that? You know, if we went to the grocery store and, you know, bought Fiesta mix and all that, could we have spent half of that at the grocery store and make it from home? Absolutely.
And sometimes I think, just as a little aside here, when it comes to the eating out piece versus the dining in piece. Mm-hmm. So like if we were to go to the store and buy everything for fajitas, okay. Tortillas, the vegetables, the sauces, the chicken, I mean, we may have been able to get it for $40, maybe, and maybe not. I think you do have to kind of consider, is dining out going to be cheaper for us or is it going to be more expensive based on what you're going to make?
Right. But then you also have to look at it from the perspective of, you know, the health perspective too. Yeah. Is it a healthier option too? Definitely. When one other thing we do practice in my coaching business is meal prepping and understanding what you put in your body does ultimately affect your mindset. With your variable expenses, looking at dining out all the time, going to the movies, doing things that are outside of what you typically do. So when you're planning on what we used on last week's episode as an example, if you're planning on taking a weekend off and going to a resort and say 30% of that $1,000 is $300, well, $300, say that resort's going to set you back $500, then you're living outside your means. So the first step is identify how much do you make. Mm-hmm. So that's first thing you're going to write down on your piece of paper. How much? Go through last month's check stubs, find your net income, and write that down on top. And so now that we have that, what we're going to do is we're going to draw two lines down. So you're going to have three separate categories. On the top left, you're going to write essential. Then you're going to write 50%. In the middle category, you're going to write non-essentials. And you're going to write 30%. And then on the far right, you're going to write 20% for savings and debt reduction. Okay. So what you're going to do now is you're going to take a moment again, pause me if you like, write down all your essentials, your rent, your utilities, car payment, childcare, whatever it is that you have to have to survive on, that is going to come out of that category.
And don't forget about like household items that you definitely need, like toilet paper, paper towels, deodorant, toothpaste,
yeah,
things like that.
When you talk about household stuff, and I know a lot of people, they don't include that in their budget because,
you know, I didn't used to.
It's all hit mess. But yet, you know, when you budget, say, if we're going to budget $75 a check for household stuff. Now, you may not use that full $150 at the end of the month. You might not. I mean, you could buy a big pack of toilet paper for, you know, $20, and that could last you for a couple months. But at least budget an amount, a reasonable amount. Just go with that. And if you have money left over at the end of the month, kudos. That's great. If you don't, if you break even, you break even. Yeah, absolutely. Do include a category for household essentials. Again, in your middle column, non-essentials, list out what you have for non-essentials. Again, these are dining out. And the one thing I do want to point out for a lot of us here is when we make a budget, we always try to, we draw out a perfect plan. You know, we want to try to be picture perfect. We're not going to dine out. We're not going to go to the movies. We're not. And while we're working, we should be able to reward ourselves. And I think when you're doing, you know, when you do a good job, you know, people pat on your back, they praise you and all that. And you should do that to yourself. You should say, you know what? Me and my spouse, we're grinding every single week. And we're going to say every other Thursday, we are going to dedicate every other Thursday date night. No kids. Sorry, kids. And we are going to go out. We're going to have some bomb margaritas at Fiesta Mexican. Or we're going to say we're going to go out to a movie, you know, have those incentives in place. And it's going to be so much rewarding rather than like you work, you put money away, you pay bills. That's all you do. You know, there's like, yeah, obviously the incentive is long term. You'll be able to save money. But yeah, at the same time, too, you should be able to reward yourselves.
I think you got to be reasonable, too. Like, it's not reasonable to say you're never, ever going to go out.
Yeah.
Well, that isn't reasonable.
Exactly. You know, so have that included in your budget. That's all I'm going to say. And that should come out of your 30%. And then again, when we move in your 20%, now don't think 20% is going to just go back in your savings and that's where it sets. So with 20%, you should say maybe out of the 20%, 10% of that 20 should go back in your savings. So again, $1,000, 10% is $100. It goes back in your savings account every month. You can dedicate the other $100 that makes up that 20%, or the additional $100 for the 200, you can use that $100 to pay down existing debt. So say, for example, if you have student loans, or say, for example, if you have a hospital bill or an existing debt that is in collection, you can use that money to pay down that debt. Don't think you should use that debt to be paid off through your essentials. Because when I think of essentials, I'm thinking like the here and now. With the 20% is savings, debt reduction, existing or past debt. Especially when we talk in terms of, which we'll get in a little bit more detail in the next
couple weeks
here. Because next week we have a guest speaker coming on the show. But we'll also talk about, like I said, in a couple weeks, what you can do with your existing savings account and how you can pay off past debts that are harming or hurting your credit score, that's preventing you from getting that nice apartment or upgrading your car or whatever. So look at your existing credit score and how you can make improvements on it.
So I have a question.
Sure.
We talk about this great budget that we want to make.
Yes.
But how do you keep track of your budget? Like, if for me, if it's just in my brain, I'm not going to think about it.
Yeah.
So how do you keep track of a budget and keep track of what you're spending?
Okay. Mr. Dave Ramsey. Love that man. Great advice. Love him. He has a envelope system that I do highly recommend. But what I do, I'm going to tell you guys a little secret that I have. So I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Chime Bank. So Chime Banking is an online financial institution. It's a banking system. What they have three accounts. So you have a spending account, which essentially is a checking account. They have a credit builder account, which will also be used to help build your credit, which when you do sign up for Chime, I do recommend. I have it, and my credit has shot up over 50 points in the last year just utilizing this credit builder account. And then they have the standard savings account, which right now the existing savings interest rate is like 2%, which is really, really good compared to most standard banks right now, which is somewhere between 0.5 to 1% interest. And that's just because they don't have a lot of, they don't have physical locations. Everything's online. So therefore, their overhead cost is reduced significantly.
I did not know that.
So let me explain something to you. For me, 50, 30, 20 works really well. With Chime, you can actually set up this same system utilizing your accounts. So right now, what I do is I use 50%. So whenever I get paid, 50% of my overall deposit goes into my checking account or my spending account in terms of Chime. 30% of that check that gets deposited in my account goes into my credit builder. Now, my credit builder, I use that for my non-essentials. So if I decide, you know what, I'm going to go and buy myself a new microphone for my show. All right, you know, so I'm going to use my credit builder, which is my non-essentials account. And here's the thing. When I run out of money in my non-essentials account, my credit builder, I run out of money. That's it. Like, I don't spend any more money, even though I have $100, $200, $500, whatever in my spending account or my essentials account, my main account through Chime. I don't touch it because that money is already scheduled to come out for existing bills. And the one thing I do recommend once you get things going is set up automatic payment withdrawals through your electricity company, your water billing company, or with whomever you're with. So it's automatically done, taken care of, because the one thing that we get in trouble with, which holds us back from getting ahead, is late fees.
Yeah.
Interest. That is one thing that's going to really screw you guys over, because if they're charging you 5, 10%, well, that extra money that, sure, it's late for 5 or 10 days, you know, you can pay for it, but that extra money could be utilized for other bills, other debts, or put back in your savings. You know, if you're paying a $10, say $10 a month on late fees or whatever, interest rates, well, over a course of a year, 12 months, that's $120 that could have been back in your savings.
It's true.
You know, so that's where they penny nickel you. And that's why I say, like, that's why I use the term penny nickel, because it's like, it's such a low monetary value. Mm-hmm. But in time, you know, you go, if you add up pennies and nickels, dimes and quarters, you know, you collect that change jar and you take it to the bank and they dump it in there. And you're like, holy crap, I've got like $60 in here. You know, and like at the time you're looking at, it doesn't look like much, but when you cash in that, you know, it does add up over a time. So definitely take care of the getting your payments paid on time and also reduce interest rates.
And also, I think just knowing when your stuff comes out. Like, I do this thing, and I'm not saying I'm great at it by any means, because I'm not, but I try. And it's a spreadsheet, and I have my bills listed on the side, and then I have the actual date that they would normally come out. And then along the top, I have my paycheck dates. Mm-hmm. So the paycheck dates are listed there, so I can go through and kind of put in how much that bill is underneath that certain paycheck date that it would come out. And I color code it yellow if it's going to come out and green if it's already come out.
Okay. Yeah, that's absolutely a great way to do it. And there's a lot of different strategies you can implement and go ahead and, you know, balance your budget. But the main thing is to get your bills out on paper so you can visually see it. Because if you have it up in your mind, the chances of actually paying those bills on time are so far less than actually being able to visually see it on paper.
I won't remember all of them if I don't have it down on paper.
So again, write down all your bills. With your bills, write down the date that it comes out or it is due. Usually, like, our water bills due the 20th of every single month. So that's easy budget. My credit card payments due on the 2nd of every month. Rent's due on the 1st of every month. And then go ahead, write down the amount that is owed. Now, if it's electric bill, what I would recommend is take last 3 months and average it. Better yet, what you can do is you can go last year, 3 months at that time to get a better idea. And of course, you know, rates will change and that sort of stuff, but it gives you an idea. And so the idea of it is to adjust it or readjust it whenever you need to have an estimate amount that's going to come out. And hey, if your bill's a lot less than what it comes out to be, great.
I was going to ask, what do you do if you come out under budget?
So when you come out under budget, so when we go under the essentials, okay, so say for example, $500 out of 1,000. So that's what we're spending on essentials. So say for example, if you have $450, so you came out ahead $50, which is great. So what I would recommend doing is you can do two things. Depending on where you're at with your debt and where you're wanting to, you know, who you owe and et cetera, you can take half of that, move it over to your non-essentials and reward yourself as an incentive and move the other $25 to your savings, which is amazing because you have a surplus. So with the surplus, that tells me that you really worked hard on managing your bills and you came out under budget. So you should be able to reward yourself at least half of that. In my opinion, this is what I do every month because I worked on managing my utilities. I made my bills on time. I did not have any interest, any of that occur. So I went ahead and moved, say, $25. I can use towards whatever I want, you know, maybe towards that microphone I want to buy. And then I'll move the other 25 into my savings account. Now, say, for example, if I owe a lot of money to like existing debt collectors or collection companies, then maybe I should move that full 50 over to my savings. And that's a judgment call right there, depending on where you're at with your financial map. And then you can use that $50 to help pay down existing debts.
Okay.
So again, I use Chime. I highly recommend it. If you'd like to, I'm going to drop a link in the show notes on how to set up. Now, right now they have a program that you get $75 to just sign up and you get approved. You get $75 direct deposit in your account. Terms and conditions apply, obviously, but it's a referral program. I get an incentive to do it. So I'm going to drop in the link. And again, you know, it's great because you have the spending account, which is essentially your checking account, which you can use for your essentials. Apply for the credit builder account, which is a green card, and you can use that for your non-essentials. And it also builds your credit. That's the key piece of it. And the beautiful thing is with this card, and you know, I'm not being endorsed by Chime, but hey, if someone from Chime is listening to this podcast, you have my contact information. I bank with you guys.
Sponsor.
Yes, definitely use the card because if you put $50 on that card, that's all you can spend is $50. And the amounts get sent to the three credit bureaus and you get a good rating score out of it.
That's awesome.
So you don't lose anything. You know, if you have $50 in there and you spend $50, great. You know, if you only use 10 of the 50, that's fine. You know, they still send good reports to the three major credit bureaus. So I recommend it. And then your savings account, you know, there's a future. You can just move X amount of dollars or a percentage of your payroll check or your direct deposits into your savings. And you don't have to think anything about it. So it might take you guys a little bit to get to where you need to be. So don't get discouraged. Don't think like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to start the system and it's going to be amazing. Again, like I said last episode, You know, when I first started the system, I didn't do the 50-30-20. You know, it was like 70% essentials and 30% on, or I'm sorry, 20% on non-essentials and 10%. But eventually when I got things paid down and I was able to move some stuff around my budget, now I'm at the 50-30-20. And I'm, for financial peace, like, I don't worry about my financials because A, everything is planned out. B, everything is laid out in categories. And C, I have a peace of mind that I know that I'm going to be able to make my bills every single month because I have a plan in place.
So one final question.
Go ahead. Yep.
What are just good finance rules to live by? Like, if you would narrow it down to like three rules that everybody should think about when it comes to finance.
Good question. First and foremost, know how much you make and know how much you spend. That right there is a big key. Know how much you make every month and know how much you're allowed to spend, utilizing the 50-30-20 rule. Number two, live with intention. Understand that every purchase, regardless how big or small, will make an impact. Again, small waves, ripples, make big waves. Live with intention. And third and foremost, have a plan for success. If we live day by day, which is fine, but will you wake up and become the better version of yourself tomorrow than what you were yesterday? Have a plan and stick with it and be very persistent. So those are my three takeaways. And I think honestly, implementing all three will help you bridge from where you're at now to where you could be in 6 months, in a year. And the thing is, like, one other thing I want to do mention here is an analogy that a coach that I've been talking to, he uses. So an archer, for an example, will hit his target every single time. Every single time. Why? Because he's an expert, right? But if you don't have a target or a goal in mind, it's like blindfolding that archer and spinning him. He knows how to shoot the arrow, but will he hit his target? Probably not. But as soon as you take that blindfold off and have a clear understanding of the direction where you want to go, then it's just ready, aim, shoot.
Yeah. I would just say that the other thing I would add for just a rule is have a cushion so that when things go wrong, like your car, going to the dentist, whatever, you are not going to freak out because you have a cushion ready.
Yeah, and I'm going to speak to that real quickly before we wrap things up here. Like I shared last week, when I had all those car problems with my car, those are things that you don't plan on. And when you live day by day, which I said that's fine, well, eventually something like that's going to come up, which is going to cause a lot of harm in your financial plan. So it is so important to minimally set back 10% of your check. Again, 10% of $1,000 is $100. If you do that, when an expense, unwanted expense, I should say unwanted, because we never want those expenses come up, you can have that money at your disposal. So therefore, you can use that money to pay that unwanted or unexpected expense. Because if you need to pay $600 to get your car fixed, and your budget's $1,000, and you have nowhere near $600 in your savings, either you're walking, yeah, you're hitching rides, or you're dipping into your essentials and non-essentials.
Yep.
And someone is not going to get paid on time. All right, friends, that is all the time we have on this week's episode of the Rise Up Motivational Podcast. If this episode resonated with you in whatever platform you're on, go ahead and take a quick minute to interact with us. If you're on Apple Podcasts, be sure to press that subscribe button at the top, scroll all the way down, and leave us a rating or review. Your ratings and reviews helps our podcast be seen organically by more people. Or if you're listening to us on Spotify, just simply press that follow button to continue your listenership with us. Then finally, if you're on Instagram, go ahead and screenshot a picture of you listening to this episode and post it on your Instagram stories. Just don't forget to tag me in it at Coach with Byron. The only way we grow is when you share our content through grassroots marketing. And I'm going to leave you like I do at the end of each and every episode to make it your mission to be a blessing in someone's life. We love you guys and we greatly appreciate you. And we wish you all a wonderful, wonderful week. Take care.